It matters. Now, she didn't tell you about when you fill out the application, and I wanted to bring that to your attention, that there's some criteria that you must meet, same as anywhere where you go to join and be a participant of the body of Christ. And I think it's very important to meet the criteria. First off, you need to have $1 million. Oh, you're laughing. Just kidding. There's some things that you'll read there. And if you would like to join a church, I can't think of a better place to join and be part of is Cornwall Pentecostal Church. Many times, and Al was talking to me last week about a couple weeks ago about how we are in the core of Cornwall, right in the center, basically the heart of the city. And here we are. The heart is the part of us. And I believe that keeping the heart alive in the city is very meaningful to the city of Cornwall. If the churches ever close up, the city will be doomed in such a way as that there's no longer a voice. It's like John the Baptist said, I'm a voice crying out in the wilderness. And we're in the wilderness. I don't know if you noticed the shooting down in the States again. And it seems like every time you turn on the news, there's another shooting, another people who have just delved into evil. And I saw in Texas, they just hopped in vehicles, these two fellows, and went around just shooting people at random. And it was so sad to see. Peter and I were talking before the service about some of the things that we're seeing. We're seeing evil erupt in our world. We're seeing glimpse of it all over. The two of us were talking about the enemy and Satan, his evil. And we are is seeing the glimpses of evil. We haven't seen the full force of the enemy upon this world. The enemy is out to destroy, kill, seek out all those people who know Jesus and to destroy them, to destroy all of mankind, because we have the mark of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are made in His image. And so, one day the church is going to be gone, and I would not want to be here in that very time when the church that is holding back everything that's happening right now through the power of the Holy Spirit. So you and I have the blessing of being part of a magnificent thing called the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ here in the city of Cornwall. And I believe that God is going to do some great things this month through us as we begin to look at some of the importances of the church. We usually have it in the month of March membership, but we discussed in the leadership that we would like to open it up because we felt that once a year wasn't very much for people to participate in becoming a member of the church. And so we are opening up in the month of September. And so we want to do that. We want to encourage you to be people to participate, no, not to be onlookers. Amen? Onlookers, just that's all they do is look on. But a person who participates, they're involved. They want to be in there and to be part of that. And I really think that when you find a church, and everybody always says, you know, I'd like to find the perfect church. And everybody knows the line of that. You know, when you find it, it won't be perfect anymore because you're in it. But everybody's looking for the perfect church. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect church in the world because you and I are sinners to the core, but yet we're saved to the blessings of God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ, and we've got salvation, and we are so blessed. And so when you find a church, I think it'd be very good to, when you find that perfect church, to join it. Amen? I think it's a great blessing to be part of the church. The great part of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is here. And I enjoy being a part of this church. I'm not ashamed of the body of Christ. I'm not ashamed of Cornwall Pentecostal Church. I was looking around to see if we had a fellow that I was talking to Starbucks to. And we've been inviting him. We're hoping one of these days to see Barry and Anna here. And I was at Starbucks yesterday. There's a guy by the name of Tyler. He looks like Duck Dynasty. He's got a beard, a long beard. I don't know if you've met him at your place of business. You know who it is? He was there at Starbucks. We were getting to know him. I like, you know, Starbucks has got a ministry out there, you know. And they invited, kind of introduced us to a guy a couple of weeks ago. His name is Dennis, and he is from Venezuela. I said, oh, we've got a couple coming in a couple of weeks from Venezuela on the 15th of September. So, you know, why don't you come out? You know, Venezuela connection, you know. And so we were talking to him. He says, I'd like to do that. So we're hoping that he'll be here. I was hoping he'd be here today. We invite him for today as well. And Starbucks is a place of ministry. You know, and these coffee shops are great to be able to share the good news with people and to come in contact with people. So it's great. As I say, I've got no problems of inviting people to this church. I'm proud to be the pastor of this church. I'm proud to be part of the body of Christ. Like Diane said this morning, you know, blood is thicker than water. We go to be with family. Went to have a family reunion with Betty's family this summer. It was nice to be with them, but they're not with us every day of our lives, whereas the church is always around us. The church is always here with us when we go through those times of struggles and troubles and all those things. The body of Christ, we pray for one another. We cry when one cries. We laugh when one laughs. We have all those joys together and the blessings together of just being the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I think it'd be great to stop being an onlooker and be a participant in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I'm not ashamed at all to bring people to this church. It's a great church to bring them to. Amen. So throughout this month, I'm going to be talking about the church. It's going to be good. Amen. Are you excited? Are the church excited? Amen. Good to have everybody here this morning. Good to have Jimmy's family. I can't remember your names, but Jimmy's family is good enough for me. I'm glad that you're here today with us, enjoying the service all the way from New Jersey. And yes, I know. Jimmy's family. And Samji, good to have you here. You're just starting school at St. Lawrence? Amen. I know a good church for you to come to, Samji. So, hallelujah. Good to have every one of you here today, joining with us, everyone. Just because I don't mention your name or say something nice about you with a mother-in-law, whatever, or whatever, you know, you are welcome to be here this morning, and we are so glad to have you here. Grow with us in the Lord Jesus. Amen. I will be brief today. I wasn't sure how many people would be out today on Labor Day weekend, because every time you get a long weekend, people say, let's fly. Let's flee. Let's go somewhere and do something. And so they go on. So I wasn't too sure. I will try to be brief. You know, Pentecostal pastors, when they say brief, don't believe it. You know, and so I'll try to be brief today as we're on Labor Day weekend. But I trust that you'll enjoy whatever the Lord has laid upon my heart for today and for this month. There's something really interesting. You know, I don't know about you, but things tickle my fancy. When I see things or I hear things, and it kind of gets into you, and you toss it around and you digest it a little bit and all those things. Well, I heard on K-Love Radio. Anybody listen to K-Love Radio? Anyway, the announcer came on K-Love Radio and on July 30th, and I wrote this down, and I wanted to bring it to you because I thought it was really cool. Do you love to love, or do you love because you are love? Now, a lot of times people will just hear that and, oh, that's kind of a neat thing. But I just sat there and I started thinking, do you love to love? Or do you love because you are loved? I sat there for quite a while, tossing that around and churning it around us. So why do I love? It really got into my spirit, you know, that do you just love somebody else because they love you? Or do you love loving? You know, it's what I do. I'm a lover, you know. Anyway, I wanted to throw that out to you and give it to you. I see some people writing it down. It's something that, you know, I just didn't leave for a while. I keep thinking about it, as a matter of fact, and maybe you want to write it down somewhere and just keep going over it. I don't know. But something else on this first Sunday in the September, and I want to pose two questions to you about the church. First question I want to give to you is, what do we think about the church? Because this really matters, what we think about the church, where we place it in our sphere of living. What does it mean to us? What do we think about the church? what part of our very vessel for Jesus is it a part of us? Like, what do you think about the church? And I think when you have a good thought about the church, it will determine how you live for Jesus, because this is what Jesus is building, is his church. So I really believe that when we have a good thought about the church, and I've heard many people say, we don't need the church. And they have this kind of secondary idea about what the church is for them in their lives. They have these kind of philosophies about, I know, it's nice to have a church. Some people need it. And they kind of go through all the excuses and all the things about why church is here. But the bottom line is, what do you think about church? You know, you've got to have a good understanding of what church is. And so I really think that's a valid question for today, is to understand this morning, what do you think about church? And the church is not a building. Please understand that. Church is not the building. It's where we come in here. It's where somebody may have said something wrong to you. Maybe they didn't shake your hand. Maybe they did something that just got you a little upset. But that's life. Come on. Get over it. We're people. You know, I've had bad days. How about you? I like the good days, though. I prefer them. I want to fall into that slot and have the good days. But sometimes things happen, and the dogs bite. Dog bites too often. And, you know, get too many punctures on our hands, and you know, we have to cover up. I didn't tell anybody last week, but I came in last week. I had two punctures in my ears. You know, and I wasn't sure if people in the church were wondering if I was getting my ears pierced or not. But, you know, our little puppy loves to lick ears. And just, I like it because it feels so good, you know. All of a sudden, one day, the puppy decided, hey, this is kind of a cool thing, sitting there. And so grabbed on with the teeth. Ah! Doesn't feel good. Anyway, he hit this ear, and I said, no, you can't bite ears. So anyway, the last Friday before, I was sitting down on the floor out in the foyer of the church, and the dog was running around the corner and started licking my ear, and he bit into my ear. And the way I was sitting, I stood up fast, and it ripped the side of my ear. So, yeah, I like that. So anyway, I came in last week. I don't know if too many noticed, but I had blood on the two ears, and I was telling Betty, I hope they don't think that a pastor's getting his ears pierced or like that, you know. But anyway, why did I bring that up? Oh yeah, we go through all kinds of things in life, don't we? And we face all kinds of things where you get your ear chewed off or whatever. What things can happen in life. But come back to church, and you know what the Word of God says: pour love on those who revile and hate you, and those people in church that may speak not nicely to you. You never know, like we heard last week, what they're going through. Amen. And so we judge them too quickly, and I think that we've got to get past that place of judging people because of what they're experiencing. So that's a pretty good valid question. What do you think about church? But the more important question is, what does Jesus think about his church? You know, I think that as I sat down preparing for this message, these are questions that need to be understood and put into our heart and kind of tossed around and valued in the light of who we are and the God that we love so very much. Do you love God today? Yes. Hope you do. Hopefully over this month of September, we will fall deeper in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, who started what we enjoy as the body of Christ. He started this. This is what we enjoy. We come in here and sing. We enjoy the fellowship. We enjoy with each other's company. It's a real blessing to us. You know, I started thinking in terms of today's vernacular, the church is a network. Yeah, in a way, when you look at it, it's a mechanism that God is, you know, it's kind of like Jesus is the server. He's the master server, and we're all the participants down this world. And there's all these intricacies and the networking and the depth of the inner works of the church and things, which I really don't think that we fully understand what Jesus is doing in this world with his church, because there's some real mechanism going on and some great things that are happening. It's like well-oiled machinery that Jesus put together called the church. And God himself has instituted here on planet Earth to carry on this great commission. So if the church us doesn't see itself as the greatest thing that was planted on planet Earth, then something needs to change in our heart and our life to get us back to the place where we value the church. Amen? I love Barna. They put out statistics. They take all kinds of polls and they put out one which really caught my eye a couple weeks ago. It said, what will it take to disciple the next generation? And I thought this was really interesting because in Barna, they kind of went back and forth between millennials and Generation Z or Z, whatever side of the border you're on. But they kind of put together the two millennials and the Generation Z, and to understand what some of the things that they enjoy and what is valued in their life. Now, millennials, they're a little older, okay? So they were born around the late 80s, early 90s. Generation Z, somewhere around the late 90s into 2000 and something around there. This is how they rank their priorities in their life. Millennials, they want to become financially independent. And of course, as they age, they want to get to that place. But the younger generation, finish my education. Start a career. Finish my education is on the other side. And you start going down and find out who you really are. Number four, millennials, follow my dreams. Number six, become more mature spiritually. Number six there. Number nine on the Generation Z, become more mature spiritually. Every generation seems to be pushing that down further and further where they want to become more mature spiritually. In other words, what causes the spiritualness in their life? And they kind of put this graph together on Barna, which was really interesting. And I was watching Fox and Friends News Channel. Anybody watch Fox and Friends News Channel? Just you and me, Bob. Yeah. Anyway, I like Fox because they're a more conservative network for news. And if anybody knows this, Robert Jeffress, he's a pastor in the States. He's got a 13,000-plus congregation in Texas, I believe it is, in Dallas. And he comes in. He's a Fox News contributor. I don't know if you can read. This was on yesterday morning on Fox News. Sorry I caught him. I took a picture of my TV. Like, you know, it's like if you were to take a picture of me talking up here. Okay, so that would not be a good thing to get a picture of me like that. So anyway, sorry, I got a picture of him talking on the news. But anyway, I just wanted to get the thing that they have at the bottom. Survey shows drop in religious and family values. And as I started thinking about that, and he brought it out as well in his numbers, he considered the young adults versus the older adults. Didn't go with any millennials or Generation Z or anything else. But he put it down as these are statistics. 18 to 38-year-olds consider religion very important, 30%. Over 55 years old, 67%. So can you see what we're up against as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as this younger generation is coming around us and filling our institutions and filling the workplaces and so forth? They don't really want to have religion as part of their lives. 30% of the 18-year-olds. Now, here's another thing is that, you know, we consider that, you know, the older ones always said they've got to have a family. Children are, you know, the blessing of the Lord and heritage of the Lord and so forth. The younger generation, they don't really consider having children very important. 18 to 38-year-olds, 32% of them. Over 55 years old, 54. Now, I don't think the 55-year-olds are going to go out and have children, okay, just in case you're wondering. They just think it's a good idea for, you know, up-and-coming families to have children. So, anyway, those are things that, you know, as we glean these informations that people in these networks are giving to us through Barna and Fox News and other places that we get into, we have to understand that there's things that we see before us, and if we don't move on these things right now, we are going to lose what's happening around us. We have to understand this is how they believe. So when you walk into a place and somebody's in the age of 18 to 38 years old, they don't really care about having children. They're out for number one. And that's basically what they're after. They want to follow their dreams. They want to go after, pursue riches and get their career done and get their college degree, university degree, and get all those things done. And religion, I don't know. That's kind of back there. Church, not there. So I find it interesting in light of the gospel and what's happening. And as I read some of these facts, so just wanted to give those to you, okay? Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 16 to bring this all to light. As I said, I want to remain brief, okay? That means nothing, okay? Matthew chapter 16. You can turn your Bibles. People who mark up their Bibles will turn there. People who are, I won't go there. But you'll watch on the screen. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, it's like coming into the city of Cornwall, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Do you see something in here that Jesus has got some underworking and some things that he's got in mind for distributing to this world the good news? He's working on things here. You know, and thank God that Peter got it right, because it wasn't flesh and blood that gave him this. Holy Spirit gave it to him. And what is that hanging down? It looks like a cobweb right up there. Didn't caught my eye. Anyway, Peter got through the Holy Spirit what this great thing is about knowing Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Sorry, now you guys are going to be looking at that. Yeah. Anyway, I looked at this portion of Scripture, and really it's Jesus conducting an interview. Everybody know what an interview is, right? It's where you sit down with somebody and you fire off questions to see where they are. If you're an employer, you want to find out if they're good for employment, if they would be hireable for you. And so usually an employer would go through a series of questions, asking in that interview for the sole reason to see if that person would be a good fit into that place of employment. So as I look at Jesus here, now, Jesus is not hiring anybody for some business, carpentry shop, or anything like that, just in case you were thinking of that. But there's opportunities that he's interviewing for. He's interviewing for the prospective people for the work of the kingdom of God. That's what he's interviewing for. And in this search, Jesus asks a couple of questions to see if they are familiar with what Jesus is about, who he is, because this is very important if the church is going to explode and grow. You have to know who Jesus is. Amen? He has to be very meaningful to us in our life. He's got to be the core of everything that we are. So in this search, Jesus asks a couple of questions to see if they are familiar with what he's doing, because it's important. And in this case, this is not a one-on-one scenario. And sometimes employers will get a group of people to conduct an interview. If they've got a lot of people who are coming in for that job that's open, they will sit down with maybe 10 or 15 people at a time. And some employers are really good at being able to single out somebody who just got the mozzie for this job, and they can pull them in there. They could say, "You stay in the room," or whatever. But I think that this is the case with Jesus. He's sitting down with a group of people. This is not a one-on-one interview, but this is a group of people. These are the followers of Jesus. They're in a group, and now Jesus turns to this group interview. And here are the questions. First question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Good question. You know, if I was an employer and I've got some people that I'm interviewing, going through all that, like, what do people out there talk about my business? Do they like our products? Do they use our service? Like, what are they saying out there? And I think that's a good thing to understand, like, because, you know, well, I've heard that you're a pretty mean guy, that, you know, all your, the stuff that you make is all damaged goods, and you don't, you know, I mean, it'd be good to know about some of those things. And so I think that employers would ask that kind of a question. But Jesus is asking because here's the community around us. I wonder what people in Cornwall are saying about Jesus. What do you think they're saying out there about Jesus? What are they saying out in the streets about the church? What's their idea of what you are as Christians in here, why you meet here on Sunday mornings? What's their understanding of it all? And I think that, you know, it's a valid question that Jesus asked, and he wanted to understand that. But most important, here's the question. But who do you say I am? That's in the group interview for all these. And, of course, Peter, we know, stands up and says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And these questions allow Jesus to give them an opportunity to formulate the answers. Well, yeah, we understand what they're saying. And here's what we think of you. And you know what? Sometimes the opinions out in the world can really influence us. Some of all the stuff, the garbage we hear about the church, and if you listen to it all day long, and the things about Jesus and how he's no good, he's no this, he won't do anything for you, he never heals, he doesn't do that, doesn't do this and everything else, the more you listen to it, the more it gets into your spirit. And so as they would listen to all the people in the world and say, yeah, I think Jesus is a pretty good guy, he's a good teacher, good this, good that, maybe he's one of the prophets, maybe he's even John the Baptist come back to life, but he's not. And that was the bottom line that he was looking for. And so here it's, you know, Jesus trying to get to the place of formulating these answers and coming up with the right, these questions coming up with the right answers. Now, I think the second question is important for us in the church today. I think it's really important because if we are not up on what God offers to this world, if we don't understand what God has offered this whole wide world and sending his son into this world, if we don't understand this is the core of the message of the gospel, if we don't love Jesus with all of our hearts, then there's something wrong with the message that we'll be taking out on the streets of Cornwall. Wow, it's quiet in here. Maybe the... I've often thought about, you know, businesses around us and productivity goes down if the morale is down. Isn't that right? Well, I don't feel like doing that. Let the boss do it. You know, have all those, you know, things happen on the line. And Barry was telling me, he was talking to you on Friday about some of this kind of stuff. It's interesting what happens in the industry world. But, you know, the morale, if it goes down, that something's going to suffer somewhere. And I was trying to think about, where's the morale in the church these days? How are we doing? What's the morale? Is it low today? You know, so I started looking at the church, and I'm getting excited about this month of September. I believe that this is the finest hour for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the greatest opportunities. Yes, we are getting battles. Yes, we are hitting brick walls at times. Yes, we're going through all the displays of fighting and animosity and things, and we go through all that kind of stuff. But I believe this is the greatest moment for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be alive. This is just prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I see all these shootings and all the evil and all the stuff on the news that I hear about all around this world, I believe that Jesus Christ is coming back very soon. I mean, you can see it. It's almost like the sun coming up in the morning. Like you can almost feel like the glow of the sun. And this morning it was a red sky. Did you see it, Betty? I looked out the window. I saw it. You were upstairs. I wonder if Betty could see the red sky. You know, and I was just sitting there looking at that red sky. It's like it's coming up, and I believe it's the coming of the Lord. It's just, you feel it. As Christians, I believe that we're seeing all the evidences around us that Jesus Christ is coming back. So I believe that this is the church's finest hour just prior to the coming of Jesus Christ. This is going to be the time the Holy Spirit is going to be working tremendously through the church of Jesus. And I want to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and working alongside with him and get going for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So yeah, when I'm sitting in Starbucks, why don't you come to church? Come to church. I'm not going to sit there and preach. Here's my spot. Yeah, I get them in here. Remember me, I'm the guy that drank coffee with you. Now I'm the pastor. And that's the way it is. Yeah, I always tell people, like, Don't try to get across to your neighbor the salvation of the Roman road things or anything else. Don't try to get them converted right there. Just say, come to church with me. Come on to church. Come on to church. Invite them out. Hey, we'll go out for lunch after. We'll do something together. Let's start. Let's go here. Then we'll go to church. Then we'll go out for lunch. Kind of make it a day thing, and bring them out to church. And as they come in here and they get with everybody here, they're done. They're toast. Because you guys just love on them. Oh, welcome to church. Samji, it's good to have you here today. Amen. Hallelujah. You're coming back next Sunday, right? Good. So we get them in here. We love on them. We show them the love, and they come in here. And I've talked to people who visited our church, and they say, you know what? I feel love. It's one thing I feel when I come into church. I feel the love of God in this place. They don't understand it yet, but they felt something. They felt the love of Jesus. So I really believe the church is really, it's in its finest hour, and the church is big business to God, and not any way relating to all this business idea when I talk about business to the church in any way. But in a sense, Jesus did talk about how he was with the Father's business, right? Remember when he was 12 years old and his parents were looking for him back in Jerusalem? Did you not know that I was about my Father's business? I looked up that word business because I find it's used else places. Over in Luke chapter 19, remember when he called 10 of his servants to let together, delivered to them 10 minas, and he said to them, do business till I come. So we're doing business for Jesus, amen. I know it's not business like business, but it's our business. Sometimes people tell us to mind our own business, but that's not it either. See, Jesus is comparing what the world thinks of him to what his close followers think of Jesus for them to understand. It helps in how we work as saints when we get this right. And of course, here we are in a church, and it's very important to understand how the world thinks of us and how Jesus thinks about us. And so they gave their two answers. And I believe that we've got to understand what Cornwall is made up of in all that sense of the lost people around us who don't know Jesus and the absolute truth that you and I have and possess, that we've got the message of life to give to people around us who are dying. For us to understand who we are and the business that we conduct, we must know and live by these two questions and these two answers. I think these are very crucial to the way that we will walk in this world. We have to understand what they're saying out there. We have to understand what we say about Jesus. So, after this two questions were put out there, Jesus then formulates the statement. How many know when you like the statement? I mean, if you were in an interview and somebody was asking you all kinds of questions, you would say, so? Did I get it? Did I get the job? You want to know, and so you're waiting for that statement to come out from the person. So are you ready for the statement from Jesus here and the what he has to say? Well, here's what he says. Jesus answered and said, Peter, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father is in heaven. And I put it in a bigger font here so you understand this is a little important here. I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the city of Cornwall, the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we've got a lot of power working through us as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, we're talking about new members this month, okay? Salvation brings us into the family, okay? I have to understand that. Like a lot of people say, oh, I'm saved. I don't need church. Yeah. But we do need church. You see, the church brings us into the gathering of the saints, brings us into the family of the saints, brings us together. And, I have learned so much over my years as a Christian from the body of Christ, what people are dealing with in their life and what they go through and how they handle it. And they show me how to deal with those things. And some of the older saints over the years have come and spoken to my life, and I just needed that push at times, or I just needed a word of an encouragement. I just needed somebody to come alongside of me. You can make it. You can make it. And that's all it takes. And I always tell people, go out there and see if you can find it at Walmart. Sorry. Maybe if you found Jimmy over there, but you're not there anymore, are you? You still there? Okay, good. Well, if you found Jimmy at Walmart, you'd get a blessing. You know? Amen. But I mean, you won't find out there. You go out there and say, you know, I'm really having problems in my marriage. Well, so are we. Get over it. Oh, okay. Thanks for the advice. You want good counsel, don't you? You want somebody to speak into your life. And I really believe the gathering of the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ, that those who are saved, all of us who come in here and we're, you know, Lord, I'm hungry. Lord, I'm thirsty. I want more of you. You know, we come in here and we want more of Jesus because we go through life. I mean, it's just plain old hunger and thirst for more of God in our lives. I don't know about you, but I come into church. I want more of God. Lord, last Sunday was good, but I want this Sunday. I want to come in here and get fed from the trough of the Lord Jesus Christ and eat up, you know, and get all those things that God has got for us. So I really believe the church is the place where we can learn how to negotiate the waters of life. When we go through all those things in life, we learn by people speaking into our life. We learn to negotiate those waters of life, the good, the bad, the up, the down, the in, the out, and the discouragements, the encouragements, all those things that you and I go through. I believe that when we come into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we find those helps and those times that we can really help one another. So when it comes to this idea of Jesus and the church, it seems to me, and it should be to all of us, that the church is big business with God. Big business. I mean, if the Savior of this world says, I will build my church, if it meant something for him to say that, it must mean something for us to read it and get a grip of it in our lives, to understand that Jesus is building the church. Amen? Thank God. He's building the church. Why is it big business to God? You know, I want to be brief, okay? Sorry. You were saying if brief would have been finished half an hour ago. What is so important to God that happens with the church? 2,000 years ago, it was very important to God that Jesus would say this. And has it stopped? I mean, you've heard about all the people that say, you know, it was just for the early church, it was just for the apostles, all those things that they kind of put in those boxes so they don't have to deal with it, and they put them in those boxes, that was for then, not now. And it's kind of like we can have all these things that we think are in the back in those days, 2,000 years ago for the apostles, the early church, and they had it then, and that's when God moved, that's when God did all these things, Day of Pentecost and all that. It's no longer valid, no longer available to us, no longer here for us. So if we get into that kind of a flow of things, then we're going to start looking at the church as something the same way. It's no longer valid, no longer needed, no longer something that, you know, they needed it back then. We don't need it now. We can get into this thinking of all kinds of crazy things. Can we actually believe that Jesus, when he said, I will build my church, do we actually believe that Jesus stopped?
No.
I mean, I don't think so. I believe he's still building. I mean, you and I are here. We're saved. He's still saving people today. I believe that this is the church's finest hour. You know, I know that sometimes, like Betty and I look at our young puppy there, and it's a young puppy, and and you said it right a couple of weeks ago, Stephanie. I don't want to be in the puppy stage anymore. I don't want a puppy. You know, and we're going through that right now, and it's kind of like you want to open the door. Just kidding. We wouldn't let our little puppy go. We love it so very much. But, you know, it's like raising kids. You know, I can remember with our oldest son, Jeremy, his favorite thing was to spill his milk. You know, I would set the table, put his plate there, and I'd put the milk out about there. And, of course, I'd go over here, and he'd bring it back closer. And he'd say, Dad, can I have the salt? Bang, there goes the milk. Not again! You know, All those times I said, Betty, when will this kid ever learn not to spill his milk at the table? We go through bags and bags of milk, and most of them are on the floor of the table and all over the place. And so you kind of get it. And I kind of wonder, you know, here we are as saints of God, that God is up there and said, when are they going to get it right? Do you think that God ever gets to that place of, oh, man? Like we want to give up on our dog? Like we feel like we want to give up on our kids? Do you think God gave up on us? You can spill your milk. You can do it as many times as you want. He's always there. He will never leave nor forsake us. You know, God never gets bored of us. Never gets tired about you and I. Going through all the, you know, there they go again. Yeah. Same thing. Yeah, look at them. I mean, I think that God gets a lot of humor out of us, you know, watching us and going through all the stuff that you and I go through. I don't believe for a moment that God has ever given up on us. He said, I will build. I'm going to build the church only if they do. No, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against her. I believe the church is just as alive today, in spite of people saying that, you know, it was just for back 2,000 years. It's just as alive today as it was back 2,000 years ago. It's still alive. Amen? Maybe even more so as time marches on and we approach the coming of the Lord. I don't know. So the church is being part of it, being involved in it, being assembled with it. It's all important, isn't it? Jesus died to get us in. Jesus died to get us into salvation. He died to get us into the body of Christ. He died to teach us and train us and to show us and get us going and growing for the glory of God. Amen. He died for you and I to be able to sit here this morning and be encouraged by the Word of God, that this is what God wants us to do, is to come alongside of Him, help Him to build the church. I say thank God for the church. How about you? I don't know about you, but I don't know where I would be without the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just don't know where I'd be without the body of Christ. I don't know where I'd be. Of course, it all depends on which church you go to. I've been to some churches over the years. I'd probably die there if I went there any longer. You know, maybe the church in North America, I've thought about this, has succumbed to all the pressure of society and made all the allowances, or could we say compromises for those around us. You know, it's not so in other parts of the world. I don't know if you read there last week, there was four Christians, I can't remember the country they were in, they were wearing crosses, and these radical, extreme Muslim radicals took them and killed them because they were wearing crosses and they stood for their faith in Jesus. I read about another 12-year-old girl, Sari. She's faced severe persecution in her short life. She was born to a deaf Hindu family, and the young girl found Jesus, and she found healing. But when her family discovered her newfound faith, they beat her and attempted to force her to turn away. And Sari's family remained strong, however, and despite being disowned by her biological family, she's embraced her spiritual family. And I read that, and I said, she's embraced her spiritual family. When her family disowned her, her biological family, because of her faith, the spiritual family brought her in and put their arms around her and held her tight in the need, time of her need. And that's exactly what's happening. We've got people all around us that they've been disowned by their family. They're going through all kinds of hurts and problems in life, and they're coming in here. They're looking for a family, and this is where they're going to find it, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? But back to us. How has the church been sustained over the years? It seems like many institutions come and go, but it seems like the church has been going on for these 2,000 years because we just keep trusting in God. Let's remember and keep it straight that the church is not a building, it's a people, the Lord Jesus Christ working with us. In many churches, they cannot afford any buildings. They just meet somewhere in secret, or they don't tell people where they're worshiping because fear of what's going to happen to them, repercussions if they tell somebody else where they're worshiping. But we in North America, many parts of the world, we're so fortunate and blessed to be able to say, we've got a church building where we have church. We are the church. We come in here Sunday morning. We're blessed. We lift up the name of Jesus. We have instruments. We pray. We play. We do all these things. And so Jesus laid out the cornerstone. He laid it out in our lives by salvation. Thank God that we're saved today. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Thank Him for it. Thank Him for it. You're washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we come together, why is Jesus so concerned about the church building program? And I'm not talking about putting walls up. I'm talking about the building program of lives. Hopefully over this month of September, maybe we'll learn something new or revisit things that we've perhaps laid aside about our thoughts and our ideas and our opinions about the church. We need to keep the assembling of the saints together as a top priority in our lives. Can you say amen? So I'm down to the conclusion. Is that okay? Let me pause for 5 minutes. So imagine for a moment you could know the future. Wouldn't that be something? You'll know everything that's about to happen. You know who will play in the next big sporting event. You know who will win. You know how your favorite TV series will end. You know how the elections will go this fall. You know who will get in. You know how the stock market will do. Wouldn't that be quite the thing to have, is that understanding what the future is? And if you had all that knowledge, would it affect your choices in life if you knew everything ahead? Of course it would. You would make choices based on, hey, I know what's going to happen, based on those facts of what's going to happen. Jesus knew everything was going to happen. Isn't that interesting? Knew everything that was going to happen. You don't believe me? You know, just understand this, that Jesus said to Peter a little later on, Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 31, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned, interesting, Jesus sees when he's coming back. And when you've returned, strengthen the brethren. Imagine being with Jesus, knowing your every thought, knowing everything about you and what you're thinking. He still loves us. You could be sitting here and say, Pastor, you said brief half an hour ago. Still going. Amen. Maybe God is trying to deal with you. You have your idea of what church is. Maybe He's got His idea of what church should be for you. We've got all our understanding. If we could only see all the screens above our heads right now of the thoughts that are going through our minds, that would be something, wouldn't it? I would get out my camera. It's funny what we think of in life. Jesus not only knew about Peter, he predicted Peter's fall, but he was predicting Peter's return. Sometimes we may think that, why did Jesus save us? You know, because we're probably the biggest blunders here, there, and everywhere else. But you know what? He's showing us from Peter, it's okay. I still love you. I've got a future and I've got plans. I've got things that I'm going to do because I'm building my church. And I want you involved in it. I want you there. I want you to be part of it. I want you to be there when things go wrong, things go right, things go up, things go down. I want you there tied to the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is so meaningful to us today. You know, I was sitting in my office this week thinking about, you remember when John the Baptist said, I must decrease, he must decrease. Well, I sat there working on the font on my computer, and I put a little font for I, and I started going with each letter, making it bigger as I went. And I said, God, I need you. I need you. I can't do without you. So I looked at little old me, but I thought about Jesus. I said, God, I need you. Would the worship team come, please? Hallelujah. We're going to go to the communion table this time. I'm going to ask if Diane and Serge, if we could just use you two this morning. I'm going to have you come and stand here at the front, hold the plate of the bread and of the cup, and I will bring them to you in just a moment. And you're going to come forward, but I want to say this. This is September 1st. This is now the time when our kind of our fiscal year of the church gearing back up to work towards June. And I really believe that if things are going to happen this year, the I has to go down small and the U has to get big. It's kind of like when you come to the front to receive the communion emblems, have that in your heart. God, I need you. I need you. I need you. I need you. Father, this morning I pray in the name of Jesus, as we come to this table, Lord, may we examine ourselves afresh. Last week, last month, 2 months ago, we examined ourselves. We found some things. But God, they're still there. God, we thank you that you're very so forgiving. That's why we come here. We remember what you did for us. We remember how you saved us. God, like the words you spoke to Peter, the enemy's out to sift us. He's out after us, after our homes, our marriages, our lives, everything about us, Lord. But God, you know the outcome. I'm very grateful that you know the outcome. You did for Peter's life, and you know the outcome for us. But all we know this morning is that we can't see the future. But God, we see you. I need you. I need you, Jesus, in my life. Father, for anybody here this morning that just needed to hear this message, I pray, let them reach out deeper and deeper into that love that you've given to us. Let them reach towards you and say, God, I need you. If we're going to make a mark on this society around us and all the ideas they have about church and all the ideas they have about God and his son Jesus, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to say, God, I need you to move through me in my life. So I praise you this morning, Lord. As people partake of these emblems, let them be meaningful. That the broken body of Jesus, the blood that was shed for us to be part today in the church. God, we're very grateful for all you've done for us. Thank you for saving me. Thank you. I can count the blessings. They're so numerous, Lord God, of how you've blessed, how you've walked, how you've kept me through the years. I owe it all to you, God. I give you all the glory, the honor, and praise. And I pray this morning that each one of us, as we come to partake of these emblems, we'd be refreshed in that very moment of that surrender to Jesus, to Jesus. So bless these emblems, Lord, as people partake of them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Your blood speaks a better.